Shalom Havarim. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to you and all the listeners who have chosen to take time out of their busy schedules to study God's Word.
Yeah, that's right. And we will study Obadiah today after a few words about such a crazy week we just went through.
Really? But first, let's praise the Lord.
Yes. Abba, Father, we do praise you and thank you for our many daily blessings. And we thank you for hearing our prayers for President Trump and his family. Please continue to keep his burdens light and manageable, for you really are his burden holder as you are ours. We know and recognize that in and of ourselves we are nothing without you, our supreme being and Lord over all. As we anxiously await your return, we ask for greater strength and more wisdom to properly conduct our lives according to your will. May you show favor to our loved ones and do whatever it takes to lead them to your saving grace. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, I do believe our prayers are working for our president, especially on Sunday, with such a great summary from Attorney General Barr, who essentially overruled Mueller, who said Trump was not completely exonerated in his mind, and left it up to Barr to make that final decision.
You know, which he did.
He sure did, by totally exonerating Trump for lack of enough evidence.
As you said before, Mueller and Barr have been good friends for many years.
Yes, and perhaps that has paid off well for President Trump in this case.
But, you know, his troubles are not over yet.
I know, right. And they never will be until Satan is dead.
Ephesians 6.
Right. This was just the end of phase one. Phase two is now beginning. Because, in case you didn't know, when Nixon was impeached, that special counsel as well did not indict him, but rather handed over the report to Congress, who then thoroughly reviewed the report, and it was the Dems in Congress who actually impeached Nixon based on that report. So, our Congress is itching to receive Barr's report to cherry pick it, with the intentions of impeaching President Trump still.
So, you know, the question is, how much will Attorney General Barr redact before turning it over to Congress?
Yes, we'll have to wait and see. But we all know the left will try.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the Republicans are now investigating the Dems and how it all began. But more on that next time, because we really want to get into our study.
Well, not to report on Israel.
Okay, of course. Because Hamas bombed them again from Gaza, which landed just north of Tel Aviv.
Injuring seven, but thank God no casualties.
That's right. Prime Minister Netanyahu, who was in Washington on Monday, cut his visit short to get back to Israel because a big retaliation was about to begin. And actually, I think it already started.
And it did.
Yesterday. So much so that the Israeli news is suggesting they might have to delay the April 9th election. But you can be sure that if successful in removing any Hamas leaders, this will give Bibi some extra votes.
But so far, Hamas leaders have escaped harm.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we reported last week, you know, when they retaliated for those February bombs from Gaza, the facilities hit were all empty, and it's happening again.
You know, it has to be more of a surprise attack.
I know. Hamas knew there would be retaliation. Even the news reported it. So guess what? Hamas were already hiding in their underground bunkers, and they don't really care much about the innocent Palestinians caught in all of this.
But, you know, Israel does.
Yes, they do. But retaliate they did, so Hamas is now asking for a ceasefire, which they always do, and Israel says okay, and then next month it happens again. Israel is sophisticated, in my opinion, enough to pinpoint those Hamas leaders and take them out.
Well, you know, they are choosing only rarely to do, though.
Which I have to say is perplexing to me.
Meanwhile, President Trump has officially declared Israel sovereignty over the Golan Heights.
Of course, Israel was never going to leave the Golan anyway, whether or not the U.S. recognized its sovereignty,
right,
you know, over that region. But after all, you know, they did win it back in 1967, and it was a defensive war. But President Trump's move strengthens Israel, our ally. It warns off their foes and shouldn't have really any bad effect on the coming peace negotiations. With that said, Syria, though, has commented that they will take the Golan back.
Meanwhile, AIPAC began this week.
Yes, the Support Israel Lobbying Group, which has always been a bipartisan conference, but not anymore. Many Dems have opted out, particularly those running for president. Anti-Semitism is rising, but that is usually how God pulls them to their homeland, which he prophesied often that he was going to do.
You know, Vice President Mike Pence gave a great speech.
Oh, yeah, he sure did. He actually slammed the Democratic Party for failing to adequately condemn and combat anti-Semitism in its own party.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Let me also add that your prayers and love offerings are very important right now. Just letting our needs be known to you, and may God bless you for it.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the shortest book of prophecy in the Bible, Obadiah.
Yes, only 21 verses given to him by the Lord about Israel's major enemy, Edom, descendants of Esau, that will eventually all perish. In a minute, we'll look at who Edom is today, and actually, even before the first century, they can be identified. And by the way, many of the other prophet books address Edom's demise as well, and should, since God said in Malachi 1:2,
Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated.
More on that, too, in a minute.
But little information about Obadiah.
Right, not a lot, at least not that we cannot really identify him with, except his name, because it means servant of Yahweh. And that we know he was. And he lived in Judah, so a prophet to the south around Jerusalem.
Still, a definite time of his writing is only speculated.
Right. In verses 11 through 14, we can know that it was soon after they were attacked by an enemy, possibly Babylon's Nebuchadnezzar, that was aided by the Edomites, where they also took plunder, destroyed life and property.
Yeah, but you know, the time or his exact identity is not what's really important here.
Surely not, or God would relay that. Rather, God is saying right at the beginning in verse 1 that destruction of their enemies, Israel's enemies, particularly the Edomites, is coming. And by verse 8 and afterwards, we know their final defeat occurs in that day.
Meaning in the last days in the tribulation.
For sure. And Obadiah shows a lot of faith by sharing God's message to a people who had just been grievously attacked and downtrodden. But God wanted them to know the day was coming when these southern mountainous Edomites would be destroyed, and that they, his chosen ones, will eventually inherit God's kingdom. And we see that in verse 21.
But in the meantime, the Edomites were proud and arrogant, as we see in verse 3.
Yes, and we read in verses 6 and 7 that Edom's allies will deceive them. But let's look a little deeper into verse 4, because here God uses particular phraseology that really is telling us that the Edomites answer to fallen entities or false gods who nest among the stars. So these Edomites who worship them would go high upon the mountains so that they could be closer to them.
Yeah, you know, and still do today, and some use high-powered microscopes.
Like the big one on Mount Graham in Arizona. Mm-hmm. There are many experts that insist there are what we call portals above some of these tall mountains where spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, well, they just come and go. Evil principalities and powers.
Yeah, again, according to Ephesians 6:12.
Mm-hmm. We also are able to confirm that from the writings of Enoch, found amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls and referenced by Peter and Jude, strengthens its authenticity that the first fallen angels, about 200 of them, landed through a portal on Mount Hermon.
The tallest mountain in Israel.
You know, we visited, if you remember,
yes,
I know you do, the bottom of that mountain a few times, and you can still see the caves of what they call Pan, the name of one of these deities, where they apparently had gone into.
Along with niches cut into the mountain.
That's right, where the people would put their pagan statues to worship. In fact, you and I were rebaptized there right in front of this mountain in defiance to that evil by outwardly showing our commitment to the real God.
It's right where the mouth of Jordan, of the Jordan River begins.
Right, uh-huh. From the water that flows down from Mount Hermon when its many feet of snow melt.
Yeah, you know, lots of skiers go there.
Yeah, well, not me. Too much negative energy up there.
Yeah, believe it.
Let me add one more thing about that. It's when Jesus proclaimed that upon the rock he would build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Well, that's where he was standing, at the mouth of the Jordan River, also called Caesarea Philippi. And since he often used his surroundings as a picture lesson, I believe he was probably pointing to that evil mountain.
Well, for sure. You know, Matthew 16.
So go back to Obadiah, who prophesies Edom will be destroyed for their many acts against the Hebrews. Do you remember their first time?
Well, the very first time was in his mother's womb with his twin, Jacob.
I guess you could say that. But later was when the Hebrews were traveling in the wilderness and the Edomites wouldn't let them pass through their land, so they had to go all the way around. Remember that?
Yeah, yes, in Numbers 20. And other violations are listed in Obadiah verses 10 through 16.
But Obadiah ends with the good news of the kingdom. So, now let's go back to the two areas we said we would talk about later.
Yes. First of all, why did God say he hated Esau?
In Malachi 2:1, right. But remember, we must always research any questionable words, and because in this case the Hebrew word for hate is sonei, and can be translated hate, but from Benner's lexicon it really means two words, thorn and a seed.
Like an enemy who is a thorn in your side.
Or thorns amongst the sown seed, like the tares. In actuality, it means a foe or enemy, and like thorns that cause pain.
Or better yet, a thorn in the seed of Isaac.
Which was Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Now that's some gold nugget, I would say.
Indeed it is.
So let's say the word hate might be too misleading if you're a new believer, but we certainly can all agree God's not real fond of the Edomites.
So, and I know that's a, you know, that's a great segue into who are the descendants of Esau today.
Well, let me ask, who was it that actually put the thorns on Jesus' head?
It's, the Roman soldiers, Matthew 27.
Who destroyed the temple in 70 A.D.?
Let me see. The Romans.
Who does Daniel 9:27 implicate in confirming this future covenant?
That he would come from the same people who destroyed the temple. So, could it be Rome?
Oh, and let me add that I found it interesting that it was to the Romans that Paul was writing to when he brought up the scripture from Malachi 1:2. Quoting how God hated Esau. And in the same context, he talks of the good seed.
Romans 9, 6 through 13.
Okay, let's try to minimally follow this through from Esau to connect some dots. Esau migrated to the mountainous area of Mount Seir, which today is in Jordan. And Esau had a grandson named Zepho. Now that's biblical. You can read that in Genesis 36, 10 and 11. Now the rest is from extra historical books, and you can either accept it or not. That's totally up to you. Anyhow, Zepho, Esau's grandson, he left Mount Seir and migrated to Italy, referred to as Chittim or Kittim, according to the book of Jasher, and soon took it over. So Zepho, from the line of Esau, is living in Italy then and doing quite well. Now, I want to introduce another important character named Romulus, who actually founded the city of Rome in Italy, who many claim also came from the line of Esau, but on the mother's side, whose name was Rhea, who claimed she was a virgin but still had twins. She claimed the god Ergo somehow gave her a seed. Anyhow, her twins were named Romulus and Remus. And again, they founded the city on seven hills. Historical evidence really does support this. You can Google Romulus and see for yourself. So now, later, Romulus actually killed his brother Remus and then ruled Rome on his own, becoming a god himself called Quirinius. So, leaving out a lot of details again, but you can see how Edom could be a reference in the Old Testament to Rome. You should do your own homework because there is a lot of historical evidence to glean from it. Of course, only if you like to do this stuff. But the Romans became very powerful, as you know. They defeated all its enemies and also the Greeks. They had amazing knowledge and incredible building talents. Many say the gods from the fallen angels taught them quite a bit. And that's a whole nother program. But if you read the first book of Enoch, as our forefathers did, and actually quoted from it, as I said, in Peter and Jude, you can glean a lot from this book. And it never contradicts the Bible. But I recommend only reading Volume 1. There are two other volumes, Volume 2 and Volume 3, that have information added extra years later. Just stay away from those two. But Volume 1 is, it's interesting, let's put it that way. It's important to remember that Esau not only gave up his God-given birthright, which displeased the Lord, he also left Israel and, against God's command, cohabitated with the Canaanite women, who definitely carried an evil seed, thereby producing likewise descendants, which, of course, is why God told Israel to remove all of them. And if you listened last week, we talked about that. It was concerning Haman. Anyhow, perhaps it's now a little easier to digest the scriptures in Romans 9:18 when Paul quotes Malachi 1 verse 2. Again, it says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And in verse 3 of Malachi, actually adds, when talking about Esau, said, who laid waste his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Now, that is describing throughout scripture, it's kind of like an idiom, that the wilderness or jackals of the wilderness is a place meant for demons. Truly. And what do you think about this scripture? David actually speaks of this wicked seed in Psalm 58, verses 3 and 4. He said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. Well, according to Genesis 3, Satan has a seed, and apparently some inherit it. So scripture says, that in Genesis 3, Satan does have a seed. Again, I'm just telling you what the scripture says, so don't shoot the messenger. But anyway, let me leave you with this. You know that Islam is a false religion who worships Allah, who is Baal, or Satan. So now, to watch Rome, the Vatican's Jesuit Pope, join together with them as one united under the same God, to me, that's appalling. And an abomination to our God, to Yahweh. Therefore, and this comes from the bottom of my heart, if you are still under this umbrella, it's time to walk away. You know, scripture cries out in Revelation 18:4. It says, come out of her, my people, before you share in her sins, thereby receiving her plagues. I believe this one world religion that we have been talking about lately, and it's been in my newsletter, is the harlot of Revelation 17. So people, if you're under that umbrella, walk out. Just walk away. Get your own personal relationship with Jesus, you and him. Get a deeper understanding of what the scriptures are saying. We've known for quite a while there is a close connection between Rome and Islam. Remember Pope John Paul kissing the Quran? I saw the picture. You can Google that and see it for yourself. And there are testimonies from ex-Jesuit whistleblowers that the Vatican centuries ago actually recruited Arabs to start the Muslim religion in order to help Rome conquer Jerusalem. Well, that didn't work out so well, because the caliph decided to keep it for themselves way back in the 8th century. Check out Chick Publishing for that story. It's very detailed and makes sense when you take your time, read it, and put it all together. Again, most of this information you need to confirm yourself. Don't just take my word for it. So, anyway, that was a long explanation for the book of Obadiah, which in summary is basically God telling his people that their enemies, the Edomites, from the line of Esau, will one day be totally annihilated, which is why we need to study our Old Testament too. The prophet books deepens our knowledge of what we can expect. And it's all good. Well, that is, if you are a true Bible-believing reader of God's Word, a personal relationship. So let me ask you, is Jesus Lord over your life? Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is, because there is no in-between. And those of you that might be lukewarm Christians, get your act together right now. Tithe your time in God's Word. You need it for discernment. And I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, of course, of Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in all your ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. And please, keep praying for our president, because when you do, you're praying for America. And I'd like to have it pretty good until he calls us home. So, next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at Jonah. So try to read ahead and send me your comments. We love reading them. Also, mark your calendars for May 3rd, Friday. I'll be at Chester Christian Center at 7 p.m. in Chesterland, Ohio. Hope to see you then. Shalom till next time. God love you.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.